Good morning. On behalf of the Junior Lawyers Against Poverty chapter at UCL, I'd like to welcome everyone to the very first episode of our new initiative, an interview series featuring prominent and accomplished individuals in the legal sphere. I'm Sahana Karthik, the president of the JLAP chapter at UCL, and my co-interviewer is Brenda Miep, our vice president. Today, we are absolutely thrilled to have with us our first interviewee of the series, Pascal Bird, who is an advice coordinator at Legal Response International and the lead of the twinning program at Lawyers Against Poverty. Pascal, welcome and thank you for making the time for us today.
Many thanks for having me.
All right, without further ado, we'll go straight into the first question. So could you perhaps give us more insight into the kind of legal work that you've undertaken within the English legal sphere, whether it be commercial work or work in the third sector for law?
Sure. So perhaps it might be helpful to, you know, explain just a little bit about my background. So I am from Belgium originally, and I read law in Belgium, and then I came to the UK after that, and I did an LLM in international business law, and then I decided that I wanted also to get some experience working in the UK. So I joined a law firm in London, in the city, Simon Simmons, and worked there initially as a paralegal. Then in the course of my time there, I realized that if I wanted to stay and progress, etc., I needed to requalify. So I did all the process for exams, etc., for requalifying, and then eventually joined the EU and competition department of the law firm, where I worked for a couple of years. And then at that point, I actually had a career break. I moved to the States with my family, and for 4 or 5 years, I did not work, and had small kids at that point, and then came back to the UK after that, rejoined Simon Simmons, but then worked as a what's called a PSL, professional support lawyer, in the same department where I was working there, which was the hours, and the bear in mind the fact that I had not been practicing and that I had small children at the time, the hours were better, and it suited me as a way of getting back into a working environment after that break. I worked at Simmons for 3 or 4 years again at that point, and then I then decided that I wanted a career change, and that I wanted to effectively move away from the from private practice and the corporate world. And so I decided to retrain, and I did actually a master which was on geopolitics, territory and security at King's College. And then once I finished that, I knew I wanted to do something in the third sector. I wasn't entirely clear at that point what it was, but I started looking and met the general counsel of Oxfam, somebody called Joss Saunders, and started volunteering for Oxfam, working for what is the organization where I work now, Legal Response International. This was the early days of LRI, as we are known at that point. So I worked as a volunteer, and also worked on another project at Oxfam, on the, one of them being Action for Justice, which works on supporting public interest litigation and helping civil society organization and the legal community to have access to justice and promote their cause. So I worked on that project as well, and then I became involved in Lawyers Against Poverty. But I think happily that's enough by way of background and happy to say more.
Yes, indeed. You mentioned that you are involved with Lawyers Against Poverty, which is our parent organization, and specifically in your capacity as the leader of the Twinning Project. Could you share more about what the project is all about and the type of work that you do within the project?
Yes, so the basic idea of the project is to link UK lawyers with lawyers from less developed countries so that they may learn from each other, so that they may get insight into other legal system, cultures, working environment, that they may understand and help address lawyers from less developed countries, some of the challenges that they face as lawyers in their country. So it's a semi-structured program that involve two lawyers running remote sessions, 1 hour session over a 1 year period. It's semi-structured, so there's some facilitation and also support tool, giving tips to the twins on how to manage their relationship and how to get the best of the experience and generally more practical tips. So that's what it is. It was set up in 2016, and our pilot project involved linking UK lawyers with an organization based in Tajikistan called the International League of Women Lawyers, that helps civil society, NGOs, etc., in rural areas of Tajikistan, and work on areas around domestic violence, rights of disabled people, rights of married women, etc. So that was our first project, and then we worked as well on various other projects afterwards.
That's fantastic. And we are certainly excited because, you know, we're looking into, as a chapter, a collaborative project between the other chapters at different universities, perhaps twinning with universities that they've already been in contact with. So this is directly relevant to us as a chapter as well. We also know that Lawyers Against Poverty works with the International Law Book Facility, who provide good quality secondhand legal textbooks donated by the UK legal community to not-for-profit organizations in need of legal research resources across the globe. Could you tell us more about the collaborative projects between Lawyers Against Poverty and the ILBF?
Yeah, so this is an initiative that has really been led very much by the junior section of Lawyers Against Poverty. And as you said, the International Book Laws Facility works with a number of organizations across the globe to basically provide resource and share knowledge. And they work with academia, with universities. And so the initiative that has been set up in the context of Junior LAP, LAP, sorry, has been to basically arrange some legal textbook drives between some of the UK-based universities and some universities in Africa, in some African jurisdiction. And so they have the students, members of the relevant JLAP branch, have helped with, as I say, arrange textbook drive and then help stock and ship books to universities in countries. And I believe they have been helped in that by some law firms as well. So it's been very much a sort of a collaborative project of various organizations.
Yes, indeed. And So I just wanted to know about currently as the advice coordinator for the Legal Response International, which provides free legal advice to governments in their negotiations in relation to the UN's Framework Convention on Climate Change. I'm sure that you coordinate a lot of different projects, and could you elaborate on some of these projects that the LRI is currently focused on?
Yes, so as you mentioned, the Legal Response International, LRI, works both in the international sphere, so on the international dimension, on the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, where we work with delegations from low income and particularly climate vulnerable developing countries. So we don't work with the very big developing countries who have big teams on their on with them during the negotiation and frankly don't need our help, but we try and what we see as an imbalance in the negotiation process between the big teams and the small teams by giving the smaller team access to free legal advice so that they can intervene effectively in the negotiation and hopefully help to influence the process. So this year has been different, of course, from normal, I would say our normal years, insofar as there are normally two climate change conferences happening every year. And they have both been postponed to next year. You might have your listeners might know of COP26, which is due to take place in Glasgow next year in November. So as a result of that, we've had to adapt a little bit our work, and so we have still maintain communication with our beneficiaries and the constituencies that we try to help. And one of the way we have done that is the two main ways really where we have done that. One is through capacity building, because we are very aware that the service that we provide during the negotiation is all very well, but it's very much ad hoc, and that ultimately what you need is really train junior negotiators and lawyers, etc., so that they can really stand on their own 2 feet and not need us in that process. So we have developed some tutorials on various aspects and the key elements of the Paris Agreement on climate change for, as I said, for junior negotiators primarily, but also for any negotiators who are new in the process. And so that's one aspect of it. And then the other aspect of it is that the international negotiations carry on very much, but now that the Paris Agreement on climate change has been adopted, a lot of the work is shifting to the domestic arena, because countries effectively have to implement the commitments that they have taken under the agreement. And to do that, many of them will need to review existing laws and policies and develop new laws and policies and institutions. So we are helping them in that reform process, using the existing model that we have of remote of a roster of legal advisors who give advice on a pro bono basis, but as I say, providing in this instance, providing advice on more on the domestic implementation, as well on just explaining really what the main commitments under the Paris Agreement are, so that they can understand and put it into practice, in translate it into practice in their countries. And of course, we are using local advisors and in that respect, because we are working on national implementation for that. So these are two other, I would say, our main areas of work at the moment.
Both those areas sound incredibly fantastic, and it's really important. It's tackling a really really important issue, I believe. So what motivated you to move from a corporate career into working with social issues focused organizations like Lawyers Against Poverty and Legal Response International? And how would you say these experiences have kind of shaped you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that this is a few years back now, but I think my main motivation at the time were the idea that I find it really exciting to be learning about a different area of law, and about area of law that might be perhaps a bit more niche. At the time, you know, climate change was not as prominent as it is now. It was an area of law that I didn't know very much about, but that sounded very interesting. I thought that I also wanted to work in an environment where I could that used to promote access to justice. So I found it important at the time, I suppose, to thinking that I had acquired some legal skills, and that these legal skills to some extent were transferable, and that I wanted to be able to use those to help other people, really, less, you know, less fortunate than I was. So I would say that was my main motivation. In terms of skills and experience, I would say that, as I said, you know, working in private practice, I found useful. And I found that I had learned their fairly essential skills that really helped me a lot in when I started working for LRI and then also with LAP, etc. And in terms of the skills and experience that I think I find most useful was working with inspiring people and working with people from very diverse group. So I was able to work with people who were, civil society organization. Some of them were government official, parliamentarians, academia. I found that really, really interesting. And I, through my work at LRI, I manage a roster of advisors. I have developed, although most of them are remote relationships, but I have developed, you know, strong and good relationship with them. I found as well that working in different settings requires an awareness and a sensitivity to different cultures and different contexts and different dynamics, etc., which I thought was really, really enriching, and was obviously important to be able to engage effectively with people. I also learned in the process of, the ability of communicating orally and in writing, and also the ability of sometimes translating what spray. Technical and complex legal advice, legal information into accessible language for people who are non-lawyers. So that was also quite important and big learning curve, but exciting.
Yeah, and for our final question, you mentioned sort of like using junior negotiators in pro bono, and this would naturally help them to develop legal skills in negotiating, communicating, etc. But other than this, how do you think getting involved in pro bono work and social justice issues can be useful and contribute to a career for students, even outside the third sector, such as in academia or corporate law?
Well, I think that... I think that, as you say, even if you students decide that they want to embark on a career, a corporate career. I think that they will get the opportunity at some point to do some pro bono, and I think that they may enjoy that because one, for a number of reasons, really. One, it's stepping out of your daily routine and do something very different, which they might not otherwise get the opportunity of doing. So, for example, the type of work that we do at LRI is a little bit niche, and it's not, you know, the bread and butter of many large law firm. So that's one, I suppose, one motivation and one reason for doing pro bono work. The other one is that I think it does help you put some perspective, some distance in perspective on the work that you do, and reflect on, you know, what you do, what your skills and your work are, and what else you can do with it. And if you start thinking about that, you realize that actually, you know, as I've tried to say before, being a lawyer gives you lots of skills, and you might be in your career tend to be restricted in focusing in one particular area, but that's not to say that actually you cannot, you know, usefully get involved in other areas of law, because you have basically learned the basic skill of analyzing, researching, etc., that can be, as I said, transferable to other areas of law. So that's, you know, something that one may bear in mind as well. And then I suppose ultimately I would say that we are, you know, fortunate to be able to acquire knowledge as students and then as lawyers. And I think that to some extent it also comes with a responsibility, and if we can as I say, to some extent help others and share the knowledge that we have had, and help others who are less fortunate and who are facing challenges that we are not facing, it's a useful thing, it's a good thing to be able to do that, and I think it's a very rewarding one. So I would certainly encourage you know, others to do it. And yes, I think.
Thank you very much, Pascal. And with that, we come to the end of the interview. Thank you for your time and for your insight today, and we really, really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure to be with you both.
Thank you very much.